The next case of the day is number 07-1853, the United States against Stephen Smith. Mr. Crawford.
May it please the court, your honors, my name is Jack Crawford. I'm a lawyer from Indianapolis, Indiana. I served as both trial counsel and appointed pursuant to the Criminal Justice Act for the purposes of this appeal to represent the defendant appellant Stephen Smith. Your honors, I have a confession to make that about a week ago as I was preparing this argument, quite frankly, I was questioning my own judgment and trying to figure out what I was going to say to the court about the issues I raised in my brief. I confess to indeed having a nightmare that Judge Easterbrook was on the panel, and he required me to go through each and every case decided by the Seventh Circuit in which this court had ruled dispositively against my issue that I raised in my brief. Then, of course, on Wednesday, April the 16th, the United States Supreme Court decided the case of United States versus Begay. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. In which I submit the Supreme Court dramatically altered the definition of a violent felony for purposes of the Armed Career Criminal Act and completely changed the playing field. Changed it so significantly, I think the ruling of the Supreme Court is dispositive of this appeal, requiring this court to remand this case for resentencing. And in fact, I'm asking the court, and I think the Begay case requires it, for this court to overrule prior decisions of the Seventh Circuit, which expressly found that the crime of criminal recklessness in the state of Indiana qualifies as a violent felony for purposes of the Armed Career Criminal Act, also called ACCA. And therefore, I think the Begay case directly addresses the issue I raised in point one of my brief. Actually, it addresses both issues, the second one against me, Begay ruling that there's no right to a jury trial on this determination. But as to the first point, as to whether or not the two predicate crimes of criminal recklessness committed by Mr. Smith qualify as violent felonies for purposes of ACCA, Justice Breyer, writing for a 5-1-3, Judge Scalia was a concurring opinion who concurred in the result but not the opinion, Justice Breyer, writing for the Supreme Court in Begay, completely changed the analysis of what qualifies as a violent felony under what the courts have called the residual clause of 18 U.S.C. 924E2, capital B, paren, double I, and paren, which provides that certain express crimes, burglary, arson, or extortion, or use of explosives, and then comes the residual clause, or otherwise involves conduct that presents a serious potential risk of physical injury to another, constitute violent felonies for purposes of ACCA. That clause has been given a wide definition, an expanded definition, by courts throughout the land to include all types of reckless conduct, similar to what Mr. Smith has committed in this particular case. But Justice Breyer, in his opinion in the court in Begay, said that the analysis of that clause is indeed much more narrow than has previously been allowed, and that it's a matter of legislative interpretation that the residual clause, otherwise involves conduct that presents a risk, must be defined in terms of the four expressly enumerated crimes, burglary, arson, extortion, and use of explosives, and that those four crimes involve intentional, purposeful, violent, aggressive conduct, with the, for my purposes, the emphasis on intentional and purposeful conduct. And Justice Breyer, in his opinion, goes through the kinds of crimes, the nature and definition of those four crimes. And the court in Begay finds that no longer is the analysis of the residual clause simply as to whether or not the alleged crime presents a risk. Certainly Mr. Begay presented a tremendous risk to the citizens of New Mexico. He'd been convicted of driving under the influence 12 times. But that's not the sole analysis. the crime, and it must be examined generically or categorically, not within the underlying facts, the crime itself must be analyzed as to how it fits into the other four enumerated offenses. And specifically, the court held, I think this is the express holding of the court, we hold only that for the purposes of ACCA, a prior record of DUI, a strict liability crime, differs from a prior record of violent and aggressive crimes committed intentionally, such as arson, burglary, extortion, or crimes involving the use of explosives. The latter are associated with a likelihood of future violent, aggressive, and purposeful armed criminal behavior. In contrast, in a way that the former are not, the former being DUI. And the court ultimately ruled that his history of 12 drunk driving offenses, although it created all kinds of risk, did not qualify as a violent felony under the statute. Mr. Smith's two convictions for criminal recklessness require a mens rea of reckless behavior under Indiana law. Reckless behavior is different from knowing or intentional or purposeful conduct. Indiana law defines it as a person engages in conduct recklessly if he engages in the conduct in plain, conscious, and unjustifiable disregard of harm that might result, and the disregard involves a substantial deviation from acceptable standards of conduct. That's not intentional conduct. That's not purposeful conduct under the Begay decision. I think from this point forward, Judge, that Begay requires that crimes that involve merely reckless acts do not qualify as violent felonies under ACCA and cannot be used for the dramatic enhancement of the penalties that a person who was convicted of possession of firearms, as Mr. Smith was under 922G.
And of course, Mr. Crawford, if we requested additional briefing on this point because Begay was so significant in terms of the impact that it's had, you would have no problem with that.
Certainly, Judge. As I say, I quite frankly discovered this Saturday as I was going through shepherdizing the cases I had cited. And this is a matter, I think, of some significant import for the future. As I said, I think it would require this court to overrule several of its prior cases that I listed in my brief that found that reckless conduct constituted a predicate felony for ACCA. Certainly Sperberg is overruled by Begay. Sperberg, this court found that a prior felony DUI constituted a predicate felony for ACCA. I think that's gone after the Begay decision. Begay didn't specifically, of course, deal with reckless conduct. It dealt with a strict liability crime, such as driving under the influence. But I think its wording, which is replete with references to purposeful, intentional conduct, and in fact, in Begay, the government argued that Mr. Begay's history of 12 DUIs indeed indicated gross recklessness on his behalf. And after Begay, the Supreme Court has changed that definition to provide that now we need some intentional conduct. I think the Supreme Court's reasoning was that inciting, once again, a statutory interpretation, but inciting crimes like burglary, extortion, use of explosives, and arson, those are intentional crimes. That a person can be criminally reckless and be risky in the kinds of things he does. But the purpose of ACCA and the dramatic enhancement from a mandatory 10-year sentence to a minimum of 15 years, and indeed Mr. Smith received 20 years in prison, the purpose of that...
Let me ask you, the second-degree murder is a crime in Wisconsin that's reckless. It's a lesser-included offense of first-degree murder. So your argument would be that categorically now under Begay, that a prior conviction of murder in the second degree would not be a crime of violence that would trigger armed career criminal.
I don't believe so, Judge. I think second-degree murder would come under the first clause of the predicate felonies, which involves the use or attempted use of physical force against another person. I think that would involve under the it includes an element. I don't know what the definition in Illinois, what the definition in Indiana, we don't have second degree, we have manslaughter, which is a knowing or intentional killing of a person in sudden heat. I think that would qualify under the first definition, 24E2, capital letter B, subsection I. But in this case, clearly we're dealing with the second section.
Yeah, I see a big difference here with your prior convictions you're dealing with in this case, which is some kind of reckless use of a weapon and drunk driving, which is, I don't have any problem viewing drunk driving as a nonviolent offense, even though, of course, horrendous results could follow from drunk driving. But it seems to me a big difference on that than going out with a gun and shooting up a bar or something like that on Saturday night.
Judge, one of Mr. Smith's predicate convictions is the reckless striking of a person with a deadly weapon, to wit, his vehicle. He drove a car in a parking lot and hit a guy. Didn't hurt him that bad, but hit him. And that's his predicate felony for criminal recklessness. The other is firing a rifle into the air while being chased by police. Your Honor, we have a habit in Indianapolis on New Year's Eve that several of our citizens go out and God knows why, but fire rifles into the air to celebrate.
They used to do that in Baghdad too before.
That's true, Judge. Some of those persons have been charged with criminal recklessness. I don't think that indicates the same kind of risk and the same kind of intentional act that should qualify for this very serious penalty. I think your Honor's example is just really different. I think it falls into the first clause. For example, the Supreme Court in James found last year that attempted burglary is very similar to burglary, so it could be qualified as an act of predicate under that theory. But now we're dealing with something very different. It's the broad sweep. Are we going to include persons under that broad sweep who have not committed intentional, purposeful acts?
The definition of recklessness in Indiana, the word conscious appears. Conduct in plain, conscious, and unjustifiable disregard. What does conscious mean?
It's consciousness of the risk, Judge. Once again, even the person firing in the air on New Year's Eve, there's a risk there. He knows he's doing it. He knows that bullet's going to go up in the air and fall someplace. It's consciousness of the risk. It's not the purposeful intent to harm that's explicit in the other four enumerated, burglary, arson, and the other specific crimes.
We'll hear now from Ms. Pryor.
May it please the Court, my name is Doris Pryor. I'm Assistant United States Attorney for the Southern District of Indiana. The government's position is that the recent Supreme Court decision of Begay does not overrule U.S. versus Jackson, the Seventh Circuit's finding that criminal recklessness with a deadly weapon is a crime of violence or a violent felony under the Armed Career Criminal Act. Begay offered lower courts now a two-prong analysis that must be conducted. First, the court must determine whether or not the prior crime or conviction presents a serious potential risk of bodily harm. The parties in this case do not disagree or dispute that criminal recklessness with a deadly weapon under the Indiana statute presents this risk. It's the second prong, that second analysis of whether or not the crime is roughly similar to burglary, arson, extortion, or crimes involving the use of explosives. The government would argue that criminal recklessness with a deadly weapon is roughly similar. Begay offers some direction on how do we make this determination. It says the conduct must be intentional, similar to burglary, arson, extortion, should be intentional, purposeful, aggressive. As to the 2005 conviction, the jury had to make the determination after reviewing the jury instructions that were presented in this case that Stephen Smith in 2005 in that conviction knowingly, intentionally, recklessly created a substantial risk of bodily harm. The jury had to find a level of criminal intent, which is not present in the DUI or the Begay case, where in that case the Supreme Court was reviewing a strict liability crime. This crime of criminal recklessness is distinct in that manner, and that's what makes it roughly similar to the enumerated crimes in subsection 2. The conduct here in 2005 in that conviction was purposeful, violent, and aggressive, and the jury had to make that determination before it found him guilty of the crime. As we know, from the charging information, the original crime was attempted murder. but because it was a lesser offense that the jury found him guilty of, the judge was allowed to permitted to go and look at the charging information to determine what specific conduct was Stephen Smith found guilty of. And from that, the Jackson case, the Seventh Circuit directs the lower court that they can look at the minimum facts that would support that conviction. And once we look at that charging information, we find that Stephen Smith was charged with knowingly, from ambush and hiding position in a woods, shoot a loaded firearm and bullets at officers that were identified as police officers or members of law enforcement. This conduct is analogous to purposeful, violent, and aggressive, satisfying that second prong. As to the 2006 conviction, the government would argue that this as well sustains because in that charging information, Stephen Smith was charged with using a vehicle as a deadly weapon to hit Chris Stewart. And in Begay, the Supreme Court instructs the lower courts that use is or suggests a higher degree of intent than negligence or merely accidental conduct. So the actual in the 2006 conviction, it's saved because the charging information indicates that he used a vehicle as a deadly weapon to hit a human being. These two underlying convictions are roughly similar to the type of specific intent or purposeful, aggressive, and violent behavior that is required under 924E and to be classified as a prior violent felony. And if there are there any further questions from the court regarding that issue?
Well, I would agree to file a brief if we so requested it in this area.
Yes, Your Honor, we would. And if there are no further questions for the court, the government would submit the remaining issues on the brief.
Thank you, Ms. Pryor. And Mr. Crawford, I believe your time had expired. Had it not, we'll give you a moment, however. We'll give you 1 minute if you have something you'd like to reply to from Ms. Pryor's presentation.
Thank you, Judge. Judge, by coincidence, I represented Mr. Smith at the trial of the 2004 offense for attempted murder. The Assistant United States Attorney is incorrect. The instructions submitted to the jury provided the jury could find Mr. Smith guilty of the lesser offense of criminal recklessness if they found he recklessly, knowingly, or intentionally. Recklessly, knowingly, or intentionally. They could apply any of the three standards of mens rea to the offense. And secondly, the other criminal reckless offense, the one with the vehicle where he struck Mr. Stewart, provided that Mr. Smith, in the charge information, did recklessly perform an act that created a substantial risk of injury insofar as he did recklessly drive the vehicle in such a manner that it hit Chris Stewart. Those are the only responses I would have. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. And you serve by appointment of the court as well, and you have our thanks for your fine efforts on behalf of your client. We thank both counsel in the case, and the case will be taken under advisement.